The Celtics blow the doors off of the Toronto Raptors. What went right, what went wrong, and Boston may just be better. On this Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here, Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, those of you who listen every day. Thank you. It's a Monday through Friday podcast. You can listen to this podcast any day of the week or every day of the week, your work week anyway. So take it with you to the gym, take it with you to work, take it with you wherever you want to go. If you're a new listener, thank you for jumping on. I hope you enjoy the show. Today, post-game show. If you're new to the post-game show, this is how it works. Segment one, positives. In this positive, the Jaylen Brown bounce back is going to be the number one positive. Negatives, there were a couple. Robert Williams pick and roll coverage, that's the big one. And in segment three, how about Boston just plain old being better than the Toronto Raptors? When they play like this, Toronto has no chance. I'll talk about that more in segment three. So let's start here with the positives. Jaylen Brown bouncing back and having 27 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3, 6 rebounds. Here's a big number. One turnover. I think he had 5 in the last game. 3 steals. This is exactly when I talked about in the last podcast, Jaylen Brown needs to find his focus. This was it. This was it. Exactly what I was looking for. Yes, he was taking the threes, but he was also aggressive. He was in there attacking. He wasn't just taking threes. Now, I said in game four, all of those threes that he took, I think all of them were good shots. And if you didn't hear that podcast, I did not criticize him at all for taking those shots. But in this game, what made this game different was how he attacked. The way he went after when at the basket, that huge dunk on OG Anunoby. I mean, just buried Anunoby on that dunk was beautiful, but he was aggressive. And when you can get some good ones, and I'm a huge believer in getting those easy buckets to help your confidence to get in there and then take your jump shots. I mean, it was really pretty. A great game all around. Defensively on Siakam, he did the job on Siakam. That whatever happened prior to game four, wherever his head was, whatever it was that he needed to do, he did it. And I don't want to make this like some sort of confirmation bias thing where he you know, proved me right about why exactly he was struggling in game four. But I do think it's clear that he had some sort of fatigue because he was making mental mistakes. He didn't look as engaged. And in this one, he was focused, very clearly focused. So number one, shout out to Jaylen Brown for having this game and backing up his words. Backing up his words. He said it after game four, and he did it in game five. Same thing for Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker said it was unacceptable that he only took 9 shots in game four. He was aggressive in this one. 8 of 15, 21 points. Second in scoring behind Jaylen Brown. 7 assists, just 2 turnovers. He even had a blocked shot, which I'll talk more about later. The 7 assists, the 4 rebounds. I mean, just beautiful, a beautiful game from Kemba Walker. He didn't shoot well from 3, but that didn't really matter. He got to the free throw line, hit 4 or 5 from the line. Another aggressive player, an aggressive, attacking, set the tone type of thing. This is exactly what I wanted from Kemba too. It was perfect. Now, Jason Tatum did not have a good game scoring wise. He still had 18 points and 10 rebounds and 4 assists. Just two turnovers for him, a steal and a block. But 5 of 15 shooting. I'll actually mention something about him in the second segment. But they still played off of Kemba's attack, and then they played off of that. And as great as Tatum is as a player, as great as Jaylen Brown is as a player, the Celtics do their best work when Kemba is attacking. Kemba is setting the tone, and they play off of Kemba. Tatum can be a finisher. Tatum can be the guy that gets going off of Kemba. Kemba can go early. Tatum can be the guy in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, that when things are going tough, then you go to Tatum to hit that step, that sidestep or step back three. That crucial shot. That's what makes him the superstar. But the Celtics got away from relying on him to do everything. And I thought that really worked. Kemba, just beautiful. Mwah, chef's kiss. Thought the Celtics defense, another positive here, they did not allow anything easy. There was one play early in the first. I forget it. I think it might have been Ananobi. Maybe it was Lowry. There was a blown coverage, and the lane was wide open. Wide open. And I feel like in game four, that would have been a dunk or a layup. In this one, three guys converged, and that might have been Kemba's blocked shot. But like I think Kemba blocked it, and then Tice got a hand on it too. That went from an easy basket to basically being blocked three times in the same play. And I thought Daniel Tice did a great job. I mean, he had two block shots. I feel like that's a little low. The 8 rebounds were great. The assist was to Jaylen Brown, I think. He was a plus 22. Let's not go too crazy with in-game plus minus, but I thought Tice finally had himself an all-around good game, even though he got kicked in the face inadvertently by Pascal Siakam, but still got kicked in the face, which kind of sucks. No one wants to get kicked in the face during a basketball game. But the Celtics defense connected. They kept the Raptors in the first half down to 30% shooting. 30% shooting. That's nuts. I thought the Celtics, now the Celtics had how many block shots in this game? 6 block shots in this game. They didn't allow the Raptors to have any real success at the rim. And that means the Raptors couldn't get any real success at on the three-point line. They just couldn't drive and kick. The fast break points were inflated. The Raptors had 18, but I think those were later in the game when it was decided. I think early on, there was a stretch. I don't even know if they scored a transition basket in the first half. So another huge positive, Celtics defense connected, active, and it got the Celtics out and running. The Celtics were 48 points in the paint. That's big. Almost half their points were points in the paint. That's just, the Celtics are tough to beat when it comes to that. And then my final positive here, just a shout out to Brad Wanamaker, who gets some shit from people. But Brad Wanamaker had 7 points in the second quarter. And the beauty of what he did in the second quarter was the Raptors were about to make a run. This was the game to me was won in the second quarter, where the Raptors had it down to about 12. And the Celtics were keeping it. It was 12, 14, somewhere in that range. Within striking distance, all the Raptors needed to do was get a little bit of confidence. Just a little bit of confidence. They'd hit a couple of shots. And you think, all right, Van Vliet was getting to the rim. And then Wanamaker gets a layup. And then Wanamaker later gets some free throws. And then Wanamaker later hits a three. And any time the Raptors were thinking about making a run, The Celtics in that second quarter, and very often it was Wanamaker, squashed it. And that's how blowouts are made. The Celtics were making their runs, getting stops, and any time the Raptors were kind of like, hey, you know, a shot here, a stop, and make a shot, and we could still be hanging around here. And they didn't get the stop. Wanamaker was big in that quarter, and they couldn't make their baskets. And a lot of it was fueled by the small lineups that the Raptors put together. Let me talk about that in the next segment. But just shout out to Brad Wanamaker, the plumber, for going out there and stopping what could have been Raptors runs. And those of you who know, you might know by now, you might be waiting for me to say what you might be thinking. But those of you who are new, I talk about clutch shots in other parts of the game. They don't all come down in the fourth quarter. Clutch shots in the second quarter, that to me is clutch basketball, because you kept Toronto at bay. You didn't let them put a run together, and that built the lead up to, at one point, the lead got up to what, 30? That's crazy. When we return, negatives, and there are a couple, so we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, if you need anything for your car, you know that I'm going to send you to rockauto.com. Now, you could be like me and not really a mechanic. When I pop my hood, I don't know what's going on in there. But I still go to rockauto.com when I need motor oil, when I need windshield wipers, when I need a carpet, when I need anything. I can fix a taillight. I'm not helpless. And if you're like me, you go to rockauto.com. Pop in, you make your model, boom, it gives you exactly what you want, ships it right to your door. Now, if you know more about cars, and when you do pop the hood, you can identify what's going on in there, and you're a do-it-yourselfer, then go to rockauto.com. Because otherwise, you can spend 30 to 50 to even 100% more. And if you go to one of those chain stores, they're going to charge you more than they would a professional mechanic. They give deals to professional mechanics. That's not right. Go to rockauto.com. Get the same price. If that person at that chain store is just going to be ticking away on a computer and entering all that same information that you could enter from the comfort of your own home, why bother? Why waste your gas? Why waste a trip? Get it delivered right to your door. Then you can do it yourself. RockAuto.com has been doing this, serving customers online for 20 years. They're a family business. Their catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate, and you can see everything that you need for your car. You can choose the brands, specifications, and the price tiers that you prefer. So go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts that are available for your car or truck, and here's the most important part. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. You got to write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box? Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Well, you have to talk about the negatives. And here's a big negative, I think. The Robert Williams pick and roll defense, which cost him a lot of minutes in the second half of game four, reared its ugly head in game five. And when in that second quarter, the Raptors were making their run, it was Robert Williams who was on the floor. And we're not going to make too much of in-game plus minus, but I will say that the Robert Williams 853 that he played resulted in a negative three, and he played in a stretch of the second quarter. Now, he played down the stretch in the fourth quarter too, when the Celtics kind of like loosened up and whatever. But my point is that he was on the floor during some of Boston's worst periods. For him to be playing in a game where the Celtics were up by 30 at some point, and you look at Smart plus 25 and Walker plus 23 and Jaylen Brown plus 19 and Rob getting those early minutes, he's a minus three. That is a little bit of an indicator about what Rob was doing out there. And he was just attacked on the pick and roll. And whenever they attacked him, it was same thing. He drops too far and he cannot get back over to the big. And Ibaka hits a three-pointer early on. Siakam hit a jump shot. They just put Robert Williams in the pick and roll over and over and over again. And he was subbed out at when it was 33-19. And that's still, you know, a 14-point game in early second quarter. That's still anybody's game at that point. It wasn't until he came out, the Celtics went small, and the Raptors somehow countered with that super small lineup. They took Ibaka out and had Siakam in that in the center spot. That then the Celtics took off. That just kicked in. Celtics offense got supercharged. They went on like a 16-4 run when that started. But with Robert Williams out there, and he's just got to figure out, he's got to be better at getting back to the big. And this just falls under the same thing I was talking about with Rob all the time. Reps, learning, screwing up, doing it again, getting more reps. The problem now is the Celtics had been pretty good with him on the floor offensively. Defensively, they've not been great with him on the floor. Now the trade-off becomes a little bit more difficult for the Celtics to accept. They simply cannot have Robert Williams in there with Serge Ibaka. If he's on the floor with Serge Ibaka, forget it. Which raises the question now, again, do you just end up starting Robert Williams? I don't think so after this game, because why would you start Robert Williams if the Celtics, with Daniel Tice on the floor, were able to scream out to an 18-5 lead? And with Tice on the floor, you're not going to bench Tice at this point. So you might be able to sneak Rob in when Marc Gasol plays later in the game, but I've been trying to figure out, like, do you start Time Lord just to match him up with Marc Gasol? Not that you're benching Tice, but just so you can match up Tice and Ibaka more. And then you just use Grant as needed. But I don't think Brad's going to do that. He's up 3-2. The Celtics have won two of these games pretty convincingly. This one, obviously, most convincingly. And they should have had a 3-0 lead. So I don't think they're going to do anything as far as the starting lineup. But Marc Gasol has been an obvious target, and I would want to target him a little bit more. Now, another negative here, the third quarter start was not great, and I don't know if this can be lumped into the other ones. It will be, because it's a third quarter, and they didn't start out great, and Toronto came out to a 10-5 lead. I mean, 10-5 run, mini run, whatever you want to call 10-5. Is that a run? But again, Celtics came out of the third quarter and it wasn't great. However, this wasn't like game four where it was close. This was the Celtics were up 27 and of course they were going to come out slow because they felt comfortable. And Brad Stevens calls a timeout. They reset themselves. Toronto does that super small lineup again. Boston pushes it up to 30 and that's basically the game. It got close in the fourth quarter. But the Celtics were always able to respond. Now, that fourth quarter lapse, again, a negative to me. This might be nitpicky, but I still find it as a negative because that fourth quarter lapse, instead of pushing it out to 40 and then sitting everybody down and getting their rest, you got to bring Kemba back. You got to bring Smart back in. You got to play the starters more minutes. Instead of putting the game away, they put themselves in this position to have to play guys more minutes than they should have. So that, again, nitpicky, yes. Was Toronto always going to make a run? Maybe. But, hey, look, the difference between 34 minutes for Jaylen Brown and 37 minutes, is that a big deal at this point? Now, probably not really. But, hey, look, you want to steal You want to steal minutes as often as you can. You want to steal a little bit of rest whenever you can. And if the Celtics could have rested a little bit, I think it would have been beneficial. At this point, with the grind, the every other day grind, still would have been beneficial. Now, the Celtics can come out in game six and end it, and then they could, then they really could just kind of chill because the other series are still just starting. I mean, we just watched game three of the Western Conference semifinals here with Denver losing, but I still would have liked to see the Celtics come out, play a more complete game. Nitpicky, sure. But at least Brad Stevens has something that he can throw at the guys in practice. I'm sure Brad Stevens loves that one extra thing. He's, hey, guys, you played great, but there's a little coaching thing. So that's something that he can work on. Now up next, just the Celtics, some numbers that support how the Celtics should come out there in game six and put this thing away. Maybe you're getting some people together for game six. You get a bunch of people together. Maybe you want to get some food. Now you get together with people and you're always like, hey, what kind of food do you want? Maybe somebody wants pizza. Maybe somebody wants Chinese. Maybe somebody else wants some pasta. Not everybody is craving the same thing. Now you don't have to just have somebody say, all right, fine, I'll get whatever. You can just get your DoorDash app and you can get everything. Whatever everybody's craving, you can get a little bit of everything from DoorDash, and everyone will be happy as they watch Game 6. You can support restaurants in your community, and you can be safe while you're doing it because DoorDash brings you your food and right to your door, and it drops it off with contactless delivery. There's a setting that says contactless drop-off. You just show up, boom, drop it off, leave, and you can go pick it up. No human interaction necessary. You can just take it, and you're safe. Open up the DoorDash app, choose where you want to eat, and with over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos, or you can get something from a national restaurant like Chipotle, Wendy's, or the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, all of you can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order, zero delivery fees. When you order $15 or more, download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. The Boston Celtics now have beaten the Raptors by 22, 18, and 22 in three of their six games now in Orlando. They have beaten the Raptors four times by 15 points or more this season. The Raptors have only lost three other times by 15 points or more. Do we get the point? This tweet from Sean Grandy. The Celtics have had 22-plus point leads this year. 20 times they've led by 22 points or more. Four of them have been on the Toronto Raptors. They've had six 30-point leads in 81 games. Two of them have been on the Toronto Raptors. This year, they are 6-3 against the Raptors, a differential of 6 points per game, or 6 points total, I'm sorry. The Boston Celtics are better than the Toronto Raptors. Head-to-head, they're better. The matchup is in their favor. Now, yes, game four, they missed Gordon Hayward. They're obviously not getting Gordon Hayward back for game six or game seven, even though he's back in the bubble. He's not ready yet. But even without Hayward, the Boston Celtics, when they play the way they played in game five, are simply the better team. All you have to do is go out and play the way that you played in this game. Before the game, Kemba Walker was tapping everybody on the chest and said, I'm checking hearts today. That's good leadership. It's a way to keep guys pumped up. It's a good way to get guys, you know, engaged. Kemba can go out there and say it because he's Kemba. And when he says something, guys take him seriously. It reminded me of the clip, if you've ever seen it, Danny Ainge in 1984, in the 1984 finals, with a stethoscope, putting the stethoscope up on like Cedric Maxwell's chest and saying, I'm seeing who has heart in this building, in this locker room. Same thing. Challenging guys to show your heart. Do you have heart? And now Kemba said it and backed it up. Because in game four, as I said yesterday, he was dying on a lot of screens. He was dying. He would stop moving when his guy gave up the ball, and it led to a couple of Fred VanVleet threes. In this one, much more active on defense. So Kemba goes out there and starts tapping people on the chest and says, hey, heart check. Do you have heart? Well, he showed that he had heart. The Celtics went out and kept Lowry in check. They kept Pascal Siakam in check. They kept OG Anunoby in check. Anunoby, 3 of 11, 1 of 5 from 3, 7 points. Siakam, 10 points on 5 of 9 shooting. Lowry, 10 points on 3 of 8 shooting. Eight shots. Now, I wonder if Lowry was, you know, tired. He had played 45 minutes in the past two games. I don't know how much he has left in the tank. They were playing with, you know, desperation. And now in this game, he played 34 minutes. So maybe they're resting him up for one more big run. But now the Raptors are desperate again. They did get a decent performance from Fred VanVleet, but not a great shooting performance, but 18 points, 6 of 14. They got a decent night from Norm Powell, 6 of 15 shooting, 16 points. That's about it. That's about it. They got 10 points from Matt Thomas, who hit 2 of 4 from 3. If the Raptors go cold, they might put Matt Thomas into game 6, but the Celtics will attack him relentlessly. He can shoot, but he's not going to be a defender. And if they try that, the Celtics will go at him and force him to make decisions. And if the Raptors can't cover for him, then whatever he gives you, it's going to be almost like the Enes Kanter thing. He's going to be like their Enes Kanter. He can give you points and do the things that you need him to do, but he's going to give up those points on the other end. So what's the net effect? But if the Celtics come out and say, hey, we blew them out, man, we got this. They come out and they let the Raptors have their, you know, get themselves established, then we're going to be back at game 4 again. Now, the Raptors are going to come out. You're going to know. You saw it in game 4. You saw how desperate they are. You saw what they're capable of. That's going to be what you have to match in game 6. Simple as that. When the Celtics are that good, when the Celtics are moving the ball and the ball is popping, that's perfect. 23 assists on 38 baskets. 23 assists. Anything more than 20 is really good. And they didn't even shoot the three well. They shot 11 of 34. It was okay. You know? Tatum didn't shoot well from three. Kemba didn't shoot well from three. And they still won going away. Go out there with that same energy in game 6. Hopefully Tatum's okay. He was holding his wrist. Something was bugging him. He says it's okay. He's gone cold, and hopefully that's not a symptom of whatever is going on with his wrist. But if he's healthy and he comes out and they do the same thing, attack with Kemba, get into the paint, multiple attacks. There's another thing the Celtics did really well tonight. Multiple attacks. Drive, kick, drive again. That's just perfect offense. Drive, kick, drive again. When they turn around, when a defender sees you pass and you turn around and all of a sudden that guy's coming at you again, holy shit, I got to go cover. That's something that you just keep going relentlessly. This is how you wear them down. Because the Celtics make you work very hard to score points in the half court. And then you got to go back in the other end and work very hard to stop them. The formula is simple. The Celtics are the better team, but only when they move and play the way they played in this game. We'll see what they say after practice on Tuesday, if they have a practice on Tuesday. Otherwise, maybe we won't hear from them and we'll have to figure something else out. But game six coming up in a couple of days on Wednesday, I should say. Funny moment, by the way, before I wrap it up. Brad Stevens was like, what's today? Monday, Tuesday, whenever we play again. He said, I lost track of the days. Somebody told me it's Labor Day. And the person off the camera was like, yeah, it is Labor Day. He's like, wow. He's like, he doesn't even know what day it is. I thought that was funny. Very relatable. Very relatable. So if you're a new listener, hope you've enjoyed this. I'll try to get a guest on for tomorrow's show. Usually it's just me, but I will bring on guests from time to time to hopefully add some perspective. But all of you new listeners, if you're still here, really appreciate it. Hope you've enjoyed the show enough that you subscribe. You can find the show wherever podcasts exist, whether it's Google, Apple, Stitcher, whatever. Follow it. Follow the show on Spotify. It exists there. It exists everywhere. Follow me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. Follow the show on Twitter at LO Celtics. Regular listeners, that 5-star rating, the good written review would be awesome. Tell your friends that they should be listening on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, to the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. It's the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.